I want to go over or continue the series on judging our thoughts and intentions of our heart. Judging our thoughts and intentions of our heart. And we won't be before you long. Well, we're going to let the Lord be God on that too. Amen. So judging our thoughts and intentions of our hearts. Just reviewing, we talked about as Christians, it's easy to drift. And I love the phrasing or the use of that word. It's easy to drift. In other words, it happens really unbeknownst to us. We're not aware that we're drifting into surface level spiritual living. It's easy for us to drift there. And once we drift there, then our relationships with God, our Father, and then with others is hindered. So our relationships that are vertical with God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then those that are horizontal with each other are hindered. There's no depth there. We talked about often we live our lives with busyness, overcommitment. We're overworked and to the point that we even lack self-care. And I've told you my own, and that's why I keep telling you all of my, not all, but plenty of my weaknesses and shortcomings and downfalls. Because like, wow, if the pastor is jacked up like that, then, you know, hey, let me own mine and we all can work on this thing together. Yes, we are algebra had it right. We're in this thing together. Something like that. We're in this thing together. No, nothing like that. what did he say, Phyllis?
We're in this
love together. That's why I hesitated when I said thing. It was love. But we're in this love together. And we are in this together. And so I tell you that, you know, when I tell you that I lack self-care after disobeying the Lord, and I'm not saying I don't fully know that was the Lord, but I had some inclinations that I needed to slow down. Probably a good month before things really went south. Probably a good month of warnings and admonitions and things of that nature, because he is a fair father. And I pushed through all of the red tape. I pushed through all the railroad signs. I plugged up my ears toward all of the alarms and the bells that were dinging and going off and sirens whirring for at least a good month, maybe longer. This happened in like 91 or so. It's been a minute. But when it hit in December of that year, man, it messed a brother up. I think I had something wrong. This and then it morphed into pink eye for a couple of weeks, and then that left into some sort of respiratory thing, and that I told you that's what lasted until June. Lord said, "This is what happens when you lack self-care because you're busy and you're overcommitted and you're overworking. Your physical body breaks down, and then what good are you to the kingdom? I mean, you can try to push through and cough and come." Okay, you know, Turner, Acts chapter 2. What? Acts chapter 2. Because you didn't take care of yourself.
Amen.
Remember, the body belongs to who?
God.
Uh-oh. I think he knows when it's about to break down. Doesn't he not know? Amen. Listen to what I'm saying. He knows when it's about to break down, right? He knows, you know, that they don't stop this right now, this particular bent that they're on of overworking, being overcommitted, never saying no. If they don't stop this, the next thing they commit to do is going to be the straw that breaks their camel's back. And I'm going to let it break just a little crack, because mine was just a little crack. But it was a six-month thing, but he still had mercy even in that. 6 months is a long time to deal with an ailment of sorts. You know, I know Judy, I can't no thing to you because she's been dealing with things for years, but for regular folks, 6 months is a long time. We must be careful with our busyness. We must be careful with our commitments that we're not overcommitting. We must be careful with our working that we don't overwork. We must be careful that we don't lack for self-care of the body that God entrusted to you for His glory. We talked about outside, how we look outside. We seem as those who are passionate about Jesus, passionate about making disciples, passionate about the kingdom of God, but underneath the surface, we are anxious souls who struggle to say no. A soul that is easily controlled by other people's opinions. Come on, somebody. We're defensive in our comportment, in our behavior, and we strive to cover up our weaknesses. And so we'll just say yes. We'll just say yes. We'll say yes. Oh, no, inside we'll say, man, I wish I would say no. Like, I really don't want to do this. But I don't want them to think a certain way about me. And so I'll overcommit. And so we cover up weaknesses. And you know what that does? It brings about anger. We don't know what to do with our anger that's boiling underneath, or our frustrations, or our sadness, or our fears, whatever the underlying emotion is underneath that. We don't know how to deal with it because we're burying it beneath the surface. And ultimately, that leads to a soul that doesn't know how to be vulnerable. Because I had to learn that myself. I had to learn that in the process on the way to becoming a pastor. Because as a pastor, you must be vulnerable before the people. You must show your weaknesses before the people. You must tell them you're not comfortable. I remember the first time I'm like, what? I got to tell them that? Wow. The pornography. The bankruptcy. Lying to get a car. Lied to get a car. Judy, you ain't got to laugh at lied to get a car. Miss Cheryl, I sure did. But you know what? I lost that car. It was repossessed. I told you in the middle of the night. Had it for about a year. Glenda Jean, you ain't got to laugh that hard. But I told you this funny part of the story. I told you the police called me. True story, Papa. Westland police called me and said, do not report your car stolen. Y'all remember I told you? That is, now that's what he did. When the police called you. I'm like, who calling me at 2:30 in the morning? What? They said, sir, do not report, call us and tell your car to report your car stolen. It has been repossessed. Wow. And that's something you're being informed by the police that your car has been repossessed. Is that not God slapping you right upside your head? Yes. You lied to get the car, a car you should not have had. That's being vulnerable. You got to learn how to do that. You got to learn how to be vulnerable. And God will show you who and where and before. Now, me as a pastor, I must be vulnerable before you, because unfortunately, you all will paint pastors as a god, in a sense. You put us on an unfair pedestal and act us, and you expect us to act superhuman and angelic when we're just human beings, just like you. We're just as weak and human as you are. Using the line from Denzel, when he was a South African activist, and he was telling the white police officer, so we're just as weak and human as you. You're just as weak and human as us. I am the same as you. I was just chosen by God to be pastor. And so what when God, in telling me to tell you all my faults and things, is to let you know, no, He is just like us. Facing fears and struggles and anxiety just like anyone else. Having to overcome things just like thought life, saying things just like everyone else. But you must learn vulnerability and not cover it up. We must deal with ourselves. We must face ourselves, face our fears, face our anxieties, face our weaknesses. Look at them head on and not sideways or kind of looking like that and say, oh, that'll be okay. That's a problem, but I ain't gonna deal with that right now. Look at them square on. Because all you're doing is preventing you from being your best you as God created you to be. Hope you understood that. That's what you're doing. You're preventing you from being the best you that God wants you to be. Remember, God has created you for His glory, where you're preventing yourself from bringing that glory to the God that created you by not looking square in the mirror at yourself, in particular, your weaknesses. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So let's pray. Let's pray. We're going to pray this introduction. Father God, I pray that we won't drift into surface level spiritual living that will hinder our relationship with you, Father God, first and foremost, and with others. I pray that we will not live our lives marked by busyness, overcommitment, overworking, leading to a lack of self-care. I pray that over ourselves right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that we on the outside don't just look like someone who's passionate about Lord Jesus Christ, but beneath the surface, we are anxious souls who struggle to say no. I pray we'll have the boldness to say no. I pray that we're not a soul that is easily controlled by other people's opinion. I pray that you break the addiction of approval of others. In the name of Jesus, I pray that we lose being so defensive that we cover up our weaknesses and that we'll face our weaknesses and help us to learn what to do with our anger, sadness, fear, and other emotions that we have not yet faced underneath the surface. I pray, Father, that we, as a spirit, soul, and body existing before you, that you'll teach us how to be vulnerable and to trust you fully,
yes,
as well as others that you put into our lives. And we'll trust them fully in the name of Jesus. Let every heart say, amen.
Amen.
So let's open up the Hebrews chapter 4 in the short time that we have before you. Hebrews chapter 4, this is where the title of this message, series of messages came from. Hebrews chapter 4. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank God for His word. Thank you, Jesus, that we can know ourselves better and better because of the word of God.
Amen.
We don't have to be so lost as the rest of the world is and having no clue about who we are.
Yes.
Thank God for His word.
Amen.
Because sin knocked it out, greatly damaged our ability to really know ourselves. But thank God for the word of God that he makes up that deficit.
Yes.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what this is going to help us to do is to have compassion on the crazy person who just out and out crazy. You pray for them and have more compassion for them because they don't understand themselves. It's helping me with my students that we have. Instead of wanting to knock them in the head and have a certain, you know, thing in my heart toward them, I can have some compassion in there too. And I can pray a prayer, Lord, help me to deal with this particular person because I got your Holy Spirit and they don't.
Amen.
They don't know why they're acting the way they're acting. They don't know they don't know how to judge their thoughts and the intents of their heart.
Amen.
But I got a Holy Spirit that knows what's happening inside of them. Coach me on how to deal with that person. That's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. See, that's why you're where you are. That's why. And that's why you're where you are. And everyone in here, that's why you're where you are. That's why you have the family members that you have. You are there for such a time as this.
Yes.
And I'm not saying it's easy. I know the nephews of yours, you're like, Lord, have mercy. And I know your sons are good night and your sisters and all this. But God has strategically placed you in their lives at this time. And he expects you to perform for his glory. Does that make sense? He expects you to perform for his glory. And the way we get maximum performance for the glory of God, he says, know thine own self. To thine own self be true. I forgot who said that, but that's on point. To thine own self be true. We're going to get into that. Being true to ourselves. And not lying to ourselves. Some of us, maybe here in the room, but definitely throughout the body of Christ, are so deceived, self-deceived, they don't even realize it. And the lies that they tell themselves, they have no idea. They accept them as truths because they don't know that they're lies. We're going to get into deceiving yourself. Right now, let's look at our foundation scripture, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living. Think King James says quick and powerful. That's King James. Meaning it is living, it is alive, and it is active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's a loaded verse. That's powerful, powerful, powerful. Let's get into it a little bit. For the word of God. What the word of God? That's the same word that Romans 1:16 says is the power of God, right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. That word. So if you can understand that the word of God is the same as the power of God, which is the same as God, then you can understand why I can do all of this. Did you just catch what I just said? If you did, you're going to be all right. But if you didn't, let's hear it again. It says, for the word of God is the same as the power of God, which is the same as God. Then you can see why it can do all of those other things that this verse says it can do. Because it's God doing it. Right, Mr. Chris owns a business. His cleaning company starts cleaning, and if he tells you, give his word that I'm going to be at your house at such time, we're going to perform this particular assignment, if you will, and be done by such a time. And here's the cost. His word becomes authoritative. And is not the word that Mr. Chris is giving to the particular customer. Is it not the, doesn't carry the same weight as him, the person? Sure it does. Yes. Carries the weight because it came from him. Well, it's the same thing. Don't separate, and I know we don't do it, maybe not consciously, but maybe subconsciously. I think at times you may separate the word of God from God when they are one and the same. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So when it says that the word of God is living, yeah, because God is living. That's why it's alive, because God is alive. King James says quick. It means living. The tense of that word means it is constantly active. I mean, it's always in motion. Now, you know what, though? As finite human beings, finite mortal beings, it's hard to look at ink and tree pulp as living. You follow that? Because our mind just goes to the, you know, it's just not, it's not animated, it's not moving. So, that, you know what I'm saying? So, in our minds, Ms. Darlene, it's hard for us to see that. That's a fair statement, right?
Yeah.
Why is it hard for us to see that? Because we're looking at the natural. We're looking at leather, or in this case, cows, pigs, something, whatever. Thank you. tree pulp, known as paper, and ink. Those are the natural elements that make this, and some glue, that make this physical item. What we have to train ourselves to do is to think beyond the natural and into the supernatural. Beyond this natural physical realm into the spiritual realm. Now, in the spiritual realm, the Word of God is alive.
Yes.
It's constantly active. It's constantly living. It is more alive than you and I are alive as human beings in the natural.
Amen.
I said it is more alive than you and I are alive in the natural.
Amen.
The Word of God is living in the spiritual right now. Now, that's something to come, so I can see Mr. Chris searching, because you're trying to hook your mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to come. Just, you gotta, we gotta meditate this. We know God not crazy. If he said his word is living, that is alive, and it's in the tense of it is constantly active, then it is that. We just gotta believe it right now until we can halfway begin to understand it. But what you have in your lap, or on your laptop, or on your iPad, whatever your electronic device is a living entity. But it's not the physical thing, it's in the natural. Think about this. We know that there's a spiritual realm. We just can't see it, right? We talked about that before. There are angels in here, there are demons in here that are alive. But what's keeping it at bay? The Word of God, the glory of God, the grace of God. Remember, we talked about Elijah, which one? I always ask April with that. Elijah, was that the servant? Hagar, one of them, I don't know which one it was, but his servant was behind him. And you know, he's praying to the Lord. You know, Lord, we thank you that there's more than us than it is with them.
Elijah.
And the servant, you know, was looking like, man, this dude either drinking or is drunk. Either he just maybe got a concussion. Football wasn't invented, but maybe played a game of football and came back on these mountains. Because I see two people on the mountains. And out there, I see the biggest army walking toward us. Then the Lord, Elijah, prayed to the Lord, Lord, open my homeboy's eyes so that he can see. And he saw to the spirit realm. There were angels all around. Living angels. If we could see into the spirit realm, we would see the life of the Word of God. I don't know what that would look like. Don't even try that. But he said it's alive, it's living.
Amen.
And we know it, right? Because that living word jumped all into your heart, bust you all up, and brought you here. Same for you, same for you, you and you, and same for me, and same for us. Jumped all up in there. Changed our whole... That's the living, active Word of God. That only the Word of God can do. It gets into the heart and operates up, and it's a living thing. Just as much as a doctor or a surgeon's hands get in there and living, move things around, sew things up, fix things up. Just like that, that's what the Word of God is doing in the spiritual realm.
Amen.
Thank you, Father God. That's a good analogy. Bringing about healing, correction, instruction, direction, coaching, admonition, to admonish. Hey, you don't need to do that no more. It's living. And it's constantly active. Remember that phrasing. It's always in motion. It's always in motion. See, I don't care that the devil is always trying to get on us while we're trying, even when we sleep. Word of God is right there in motion.
Amen.
Angels to their motion. Spirit realm, the spirit realm, the good side of the spirit realm don't go to sleep by the demonic side keep working. No, it's all in motion. That's why you wake up one day after hearing something for 10 years and it just busts you all up in your head. Like, whoa! And you cry and laugh and can't eat for an hour because you got to calm down. Because It's living, it's active, and it, that activity has reached the heart and the mind of a person. When it does, Pierce. Lord, have mercy. Pierce. Come on, preacher. Pierce. You better watch yourself. Because she's jumping ahead on to the next part of the thing, but she can see it. Thank God for teaching. That's why you take your time and go over and over and over, and then you'll see it. Because it's working its way deeper down into the depths of our soul. That's what the words of the God does. That's what we're about to read. It boldly goes where no man has gone before. Oh, you better watch your Star Trek self. Whoa! That's what it does. Oh, but then you see my disappointment right in the next sentence when you don't teach the word of God. When you go Christianity light, can you see why souls are unchanged? There's no penetration. You've lightened the word soul, L-I-T-E. You've lightened it so that you cause it to be devoid of power. What a shame. And now we're turning to the newest religion, the religion of politics. We think we're going to find the redemption in politics. Christians believe that. For the word of God is living. It's constantly active. And powerful, which means active. Means it is operative, energizing. That's the word also. It's energized and it's effective and it is in operation. So it's living, constantly alive and active. And it's causing through its operation, and it's energizing, and it's effective, meaning it is effecting or causing that to happen inside of us, that which God wants to happen. Maybe he wants us to be more loving toward our husbands. Maybe he wants us to be more patient toward our children. Maybe he wants us to be more compassionate toward our co-workers. Maybe he wants us to pray more for our nephews. Let's see. Okay, it went back. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yeah, so it is active, it's operative, energizing, and effective. Well, what are you saying about all of those words that it's living and it's powerful, full of power? Meaning there's no job that it can't do. The word of God never fails. Not only is it living, alive, not only is it full of power, active and operative and energized and effective, but then it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And piercing. King James said dividing asunder. Piercing is a good word. Penetrating might even be better. Because it says, as far as the division of the soul and spirit, that's immortal portion of man. And for something that it goes in there and penetrates that deep. Soul and spirit. Of both joints and the marrow. And able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. As I'm studying this, what we don't want to really focus on let me get this together. When it says piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, I want you to put all that together. Don't try to get off into explaining soul and spirit and joints and marrow. Because the word piercing may seem a bit confusing. Penetrating and piercing are key words. But then it says to the dividing or division of soul and spirit. So it seems as if the word of God goes in and it cuts and causes and divides those one from the other. But that's not the gist of what it's saying. And I thought all the year that's what it was the gist of it, that it would cause a division between soul and spirit, because it cuts in there, separates soul from spirit, and the joint from the marrow. Well, you got a problem there, because you can't separate the joint from the marrow, because the marrow is inside the bone. So there's something else there with that. And so the key phrase is the penetrating, piercing of the Word of God. So you have the person, and you have the Word of God piercing. Now, the key phrase is piercing and penetrating. It goes so far deep, it's so sharp, that it can go into the, if you look at it all together, soul and spirit, joint and marrow, those are the very core of, or the innermost part of man. That's what I want you to look at this. I should have drawn this in here. Soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That's the innermost being of man. It's innermost being. The Word of God, only the Word of God can get in there. Does that make sense? Because that's spiritual.
Yes.
No scaffold can get in there. No knife can penetrate, because all it does is cut your heart or your lung, you know, down to there. But it can't get, all that's flesh. The real you is spiritual. So when it talks about soul and spirit, joints and marrow, we're talking about the innermost being, and that's who you and I really are.
Amen.
Lord, please help us to get this. Because if you understand that our innermost being is not our flesh, but the innermost core of our being, which is our spirit, that's who we are, then you're going to understand the next part of this teaching, which we'll get to next week, Lord willing. And that is, and I'll give a little preview on that, which is our true self and our false self. True self and our false. We're going to get to both of those. True / real self and our false self. And we will get to that. That's just a preview. That's just an appetizer. But I want us to understand this, that only the Word of God can get to the innermost being of who we really are.
Amen.
That's what penetrating and piercing even to. It gets all the way down up in there like no other entity, being, or thing that exists in the entire universe. Only the Word of God can get in there. Only the Word of God. Woo, if you can hear it. That's why people go unchanged. The Word never gets down in there. You can see why people can go to church for years and really be real Christians and be unchanged, or change very little. And not get in an active living Word of God. It's a watered down Christianity light version. You're watering it down with so much rhetoric, with so much, what's that? I'm trying to encourage people, make them feel good, motivational speaking, no sort of, you mix it all with a lot of secular humanistic worldviews. You pour a bunch of that in there and limit the Word of God and mix it all up and you put forth a sermon. Well, there's not much power in there. There's no penetrating power. Excuse the graphic, but you know when you bust a sword that's been up in there for some while and infuse it, but that pus come out and it's smelly and green and things like that, it gets all the way down in there. Yeah, that's what the Word of God does. There's some areas in all of our lives that have not been touched by the Word of God. And God aims to touch them with this series. And we're going to be better for it. Remember when we first got married, my wife got some things off her chest in our first year of marriage. She cried for an hour, telling me about some things and this, that, and the other. And she cried for about an hour. And I tell you, that was so cathartic. Never forget, that was on a Friday night. Never forget it. Following Tuesday afternoon, She let out a laugh that I never heard her laugh before. It was such a hearty, full laugh. She'd been cleansed and was loud and so full. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. No chastening is joyous but grievous, but after that, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's what's going to happen. You got joy now, it's going to come to a whole different level. As you allow the word of God to penetrate into the very depths of your soul and boldly go where no man or no thing has ever gone before.
Amen.
Let us bow our Star Trek heads in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for your word. And really, Father God, it's a rerun prayer, but it's true every time. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our pathway. It is your word that is guiding us and directing us and showing us the way. Nothing else but your word is doing that. Period. We're thankful and we're grateful. We're thankful and we're grateful. We are forever grateful. Help us to continue to treasure, to store, to deposit your word in our hearts in abundance, that we may not sin against thee. Father God, the question was asked, how can a child of God keep their way pure? And you answered it. We're to keep it according to your word. Help us to do that, Father. And we thank you for hearing and answering our prayer according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.